I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife turned midwitch, and I now work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer one-on-one sessions and packages and online courses for conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. I also mentor current and aspiring birth workers in my Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship Program. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Olivia. Olivia is a mama of one from New York who's currently living in Berlin. Being very freedom-driven and having lived in several places around the world, Olivia wasn't sure pregnancy, birth, and motherhood was for her. But after much intentional questioning, she decided to take the leap of faith and became pregnant very quickly after moving to Berlin for her job in the music industry. Today, we will hear her story about her natural birth under 6 hours as a first-time mama at 39 weeks in a hospital with a team of supportive midwives in Berlin. Curious about Olivia? Find her on Instagram as Olivia Collion.
There's so much depth and wisdom within it. It's so much more than just learning about physiologic birth. I feel like I've really gone to places that I didn't expect and really took a journey within myself.
I am really learning to be with women in this really deep and profound way.
It's the lush, yummy, yummy, yummy nourishing circles that we hold and the way that we share our hearts and see each other and witness each other as we journey and peel back the layers, the deep, deep layers of, you know, our own birth imprinting, our red thread lineage, like why it is we think and feel the way that we do.
Anna has brought absolute magic into my life in so many ways. And I can feel the change in my body. And I can see it in my life. And it's absolutely amazing.
I just kind of never wanted to end, which is cool because it doesn't have to. We're going to continue to meet monthly in our birth debrief sessions, and that gives my heart so much joy.
I'm really grateful for Anna. I'm really grateful for this program, for the sisterhood, for the relationships and the connections to women all over the world that I've got to experience, and I can't recommend the program enough.
Those were the voices of some of my current mentees in the Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship Program. I just wanted to remind any of you who have been interested in joining the next cohort that enrollment for January 2024 is now open, and there is an early bird offer this month of October where you can save $700 if you apply this month. That is $700 if you apply this month of October for the upcoming mentorship starting in January. Hope to see many of you gorgeous birth nerds, activists, mamas, and birth workers in there soon. This podcast is sponsored by Informed Pregnancy Plus, a brand new pregnancy and postpartum streaming platform featuring a rich and diverse and growing universe of thoughtfully created movies, documentaries, and series designed to entertain, empower, and promote health and wellness during your pregnancy and beyond. With Informed Pregnancy Plus, you can stream the documentary Heads Up, a series about breech births, or Trial of Labor, a film that follows a small group of pregnant women and their journeys back to trusting themselves and their bodies after a previous cesarean. One of my favorites is the movie These Are My Hours. It shows birth as mother-centric and autonomous, featuring poetic voiceover from the birthing mother and real-time labor footage and sounds. I cried watching this powerful movie, and it's now a part of my mentorship curriculum to watch. And the best news is that you can try Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free of charge. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv and start watching these inspiring documentaries and films already today. Hi, Olivia, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So lovely to have you tuning in from Germany. So that is where you're based now, yeah?
Yes, I'm based in Berlin.
Oh, lovely. One of my beautiful mentees, who I know listens to this podcast, she lives in Berlin.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you'd love her. Anywho, so today we are going to talk about your natural empowering birth story. Obviously, you're on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And what's quite interesting, which we will kind of start off with, is that, you know, you're from the US and moving to Germany, becoming pregnant, you went on a journey maybe of unconditioning a lot of the belief systems you had about birth that you brought from the US. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yes, absolutely. I think a good place to start is kind of the decision to get pregnant, right? It's this big, like, you kind of reach this age, you have a partner, you think, okay, is it time? Do I want to have a family? For me, my personality, I like to question everything that's expected of me. So whether that's staying in the same job or getting married or doing all these things. So when it came to, should I have children? It was really, you know, people would ask me, so do you think you're going to have kids? And it's always, you know, when people ask you that question, it's like, how do you answer this? So I always said, it's 50-50. I'm not sure yet, you know, keep them guessing a little bit and also kind of work on your own. Get there on your own, you know, don't get there so that because it's expected. So it was a lot of intentional questioning of from different perspectives, right? So spending time with my friends, with children or my nieces and nephews, look at it from the relationship side. How is this going to impact my relationship with my husband? How is this going to impact my spiritual growth, practicality. So I like to kind of discover things from all sides. So I guess in a way, that's almost what you said, like an unconditioning, right? There's this conditioning of like, you get married, you have kids, you do this thing. But what if we kind of make that a little bit more intentional and make sure that it works for us and our lives and our relationships? So that's where it really started. And I think kind of the turning point was I was living in Singapore before moving to Berlin last year. I would frequently go to Bali. So that was a great perk of living there. And I had a session with a healer that I would frequent. And I said, I'm really trying to figure out if I should have kids or not. And he said, okay, we can make that the intention of our session today. So he did his thing. And then after we chatted, and he said, so I saw two images. On one side was you and your husband, Matt, and a lot of happiness. And on the other side was you and Matt, one or two kids, and also a lot of happiness. So the decision is yours. Mm. He just said, trust yourself. Mm. Trust yourself to make that choice. Mm. So about 2 months after, 2 or 3 months after that, we moved from Singapore to Berlin, and I got pregnant within our first week living here.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And was that, were you really happy when that happened? Was that like, yes, we're ready? Or was it like, whoopsie, we didn't expect being pregnant the first week of moving to a new country?
I know, yeah. I was in denial. So I really, I didn't think that I was pregnant, even though I was really sick for like 2 to 3 weeks. You know, people be like, are you pregnant? I'm like, no, no.
Okay.
Until it like pretty much took me having to go to the hospital for IVs. And, you know, they said, oh, yep, there's a baby. Look, you can see. And I was just like in there, you know, ushering my husband. I was like, Matt, you have to get here. Come over here now. There's a baby on the monitor.
Wow.
So it was good. It was happy news, but it was also a lot of nervousness being in a new country and trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So tell us about that. How did you navigate being in a foreign country, being pregnant, yeah, and deciding, you know, how are you going to birth your baby?
Yeah. Other moms, the power of other moms. That's where I started, was talking to another mom, you know, who had a small child, and she kind of told me the different steps. In Germany, so it's very different here than in the US. In the US, you have one doctor who's your main doctor. They're affiliated with a hospital. Mm-hmm. And you know that that doctor is going to be the one birthing your baby, most likely, unless they're like, you know, on vacation or something. Here, everything is separate. So you have your doctor, your OB, who you do your checkups with. Then you also have a separate doctor who's doing any, if you choose to do any of the scans. Then you also have the hospital, and you choose your hospital if you choose to give birth in a hospital. Then you also have to find your midwife. And so there's all of these different things, different puzzle pieces. I also need to say that neither my husband or I speak German. So we moved here for my work, neither of us speak German. So navigating that was really stressful. It was very stressful in the beginning. You know, there were, for the first 3 months, a lot of tears, just of like, how do I figure this out? You know, that's, making appointments was difficult because nobody spoke English, and just saying, okay, now I need to find a midwife. And they say in Germany, like, first you have to find an apartment, which is impossible. Then if you think that is hard, try finding a midwife. And, you know, and if you think trying to find a midwife is hard, try finding what's called Kita, the daycare. So there's a lot of shortages here. I mean, kind of like everywhere, of housing, of midwives, of childcare, kind of everywhere else. Things fell into place. You know, I have always been interested in doing a home birth, but I think I was so overwhelmed with moving to a new place and not knowing anybody here and not understanding the medical system here at all, that I said, okay, I'll give birth in a hospital, but I want it to be a very a small hospital, a hospital that's focused on natural birth. So I did a lot of research into that and making sure that the hospital that I chose really fit those requirements. And then you can go and visit as well. So on the website, they said, you know, this hospital, each room is like color therapy, and they use aromatherapy and reflexology, acupuncture during labor. And I was like, I'll go here. Sounds nice. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it was a lot of trusting in the universe, and the universe delivered. Mm. So I found an amazing hospital. I found the best midwife. And I think once I realized things were falling into place, I could relax a little bit more.
So that midwife, would she follow you through your pregnancy, come to your birth and be there postpartum?
So the midwife, you can have a midwife who does that. The midwife who I found, she was with me through my pregnancy and then also postpartum. So here in Germany, I don't know how many, maybe 20 midwife visits are covered under insurance. But essentially for the first, yeah.
That's a lot of visits.
And then for postpartum, yeah, if you're breastfeeding, you can have almost like as many visits as you want, as long as you're breastfeeding. If you're a breastfeeding family, they can come as long as you're breastfeeding.
Wow.
So it's an amazing system here that feels very supported in that way. You know, we're far from family, and knowing that after the birth, our midwife would come every day if we wanted.
Yeah.
For free. You know, that's unheard of in the US.
Yes. Yeah. So much support. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah. Just somebody I could always text.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, around 36 weeks, like it's getting about that time, you know, are there things that I can do? So she would send me different movements. She's like, eat your dates, you know? And I said, is there something I can be doing to prepare? I was so nervous. Have I not done enough to prepare? And she says, the best thing you can do to prepare is have as many orgasms as possible.
I like her.
Yeah, I know. I was like, so I told my husband, he was like, the midwife said that, you know? I said, yeah. He was like, I like this midwife. This is a great midwife.
Well, that's the thing. It's like increasing the oxytocin. The more oxytocin you feel, the more receptors you will create. And that's what needs to happen before labor and birth. You need to have a lot of oxytocin receptors in your womb and also in your brain, so that you can have this, you know, all the state of consciousness, this love, euphoria, all of that. I mean, there's other hormones in play as well, but oxytocin is like the queen of all of them, the love hormone. So I'd say the same, you know, rest and do everything that increases oxytocin. Orgasm is great, but also like cuddling, massage, you know, everything that feels good.
Yeah. Because I was asking her about, you know, I have just, like most women, had a huge fear of tearing. And so I said, should I try the perineum massage? And she said, you can try, you know, but only if it feels good. You know, we don't want any negative feelings or associations down there. Like, we just want good feelings, positive things. So only things that feel good for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So she was amazing. And, you know, we still keep in touch with her, and she turned into a good friend.
Hmm. Well, that happens a lot of times with my clients too, because you become so close. You know, you share one of life's most intimate, vulnerable, powerful moments, especially if you also attend the birth, obviously. But even so, just during pregnancy and in the postpartum, it's really life-altering events. So it's powerful. You share things together. So tell me now, did you have any early signs of labor approaching for you?
I had none. Another really wonderful thing about giving birth in Germany is that your maternity leave starts 6 weeks before your due date.
Mm.
So when I was, you know, I went home to New York when I went for a work trip around 7 months pregnant, and I was talking, you know, right before I went on maternity leave, essentially, and talking to people there, I was like, yeah, I get 6 weeks off. And they said, well, aren't you just going to be bored? What are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to enjoy my life before it's all different and relax and like really relax.
Have a vacation.
And get or just get my body in a very relaxed way. Yeah. I really felt that like getting my headspace in a good place was the most important. You know, I've heard things like, oh, you need to be very fit for your birth, you know, physically fit. And I was like, I don't know, that didn't resonate. I felt getting my mind in a space to be ready was the most important. So during those 6 weeks, I really kind of went in on massages, daily walks, listening to your podcasts, listening to birth affirmations, you know, doing some movement of, you know, to prepare this to like pelvis opening movements. And I just knew, I also knew that that baby, who's a baby girl, Kaya, she would be a little early. I was like, I know she's going to be a little early. Her due date was May 6th. I was like, I don't think she's going to make it to that. And I didn't have any pre-labor signs. And I was working with a doula, so I did hire a doula. And she showed me and kind of taught me how I could check my own dilation. And so I checked. I was like, I don't feel any dilation, you know? And I had a little bit of loss of mucus plug over a few days, but I know that can kind of happen whenever the baby had dropped, maybe like 3 weeks before I went into labor. And I didn't have any bloody show or anything, but my mom had all of her births were very fast. My sister, all of her births were very fast. So I knew it would be fast. You can see. Yeah.
When you say fast, how fast are we talking?
Okay.
Like your mom and your sister. Yeah.
For first births, my mom's first birth was under 6 hours.
Yeah. Wow.
And my sister's was under 7.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. And then they were shorter. They each had 3, and each birth was shorter after that. Mm. And I told my doula that, right? I said, FYI, she said, you know, that's a good sign, but you're not your mom. You're not your sister.
True.
It's your own experience. But call me as soon as you have contractions. So 5 a.m., you know, had a good sleep, woke up at 5 on a Tuesday. It's like, I'm feeling a little something. I'm not sure. I hadn't experienced any Braxton Hicks or anything. So I didn't know what a contraction felt like. And wasn't sure, stayed in bed. I said, okay, they're kind of coming. You know, I'm feeling more than 1 or 2. So why don't I start timing them? They were really infrequent, maybe ranging from every like 6 to 15 minutes. And by like 6:30, so I was in bed for an hour and a half, just relaxing. And I think during that time, I was really surprised with how relaxed I was. You know, sometimes I heard like, oh, okay, if you start having contractions, try to relax, maybe have some sleep. And I'm like, how do people do that if they're having contractions and they're in labor? How can they relax? But I was able to. Around 6:30, then I said, all right, I'm going to take a shower. I should, you know, wash my hair. Maybe I'll blow dry my hair. It's really dirty. I could, you know, whatever. So take a shower. They're continuing. So I then said, you know, I'll draw a bath. That's what my doula would tell me to do. So I'll get in the bath and call my doula. And this was around 7:15. And she said, okay, you know, you're sounding good. Stay in the bath. And then when you feel ready, get out and get into bed and just relax in bed. And we'll talk in a couple hours. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be a couple hours. But sure. So after 15 minutes, I sent her a screenshot of my contractions, which were then at that point happening, you know, every 2 to 5 minutes, lasting about a minute and a half. Wow. And she said, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. They're definitely quite regular. Get out of the bath and get into bed. And I was, so the day before I had downloaded this app called Freya, and it was like a breathing meditation app for labor. And I had signed up for a hypnobirthing course. And about halfway through the course, I realized I wasn't connecting with the instructor. And the whole thing is that you then have to listen to the sessions over and over again. So I was like, I can't even listen to the sessions. And I was stressed about it. You know, I hear hypnobirthing is the key. I haven't been doing my hypnobirthing. Am I prepared enough? But I meditate regularly. So it's like, okay, I can do this. I know how to tap in.
Yeah.
So I downloaded this app the night before, and unknowingly that it would become my savior the next morning. And it was really beautiful. I mean, it just does guided breathing through your contractions. So I was using that. I got into bed and with my husband, we were continuing to do some breathing together, some belly breathing. And by 8:15, I said, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm definitely in labor. Can you call my mom and let her know? Because she's in the US, right? So it's like middle of the night for her. I said, just let my mom know that I'm in labor. And yeah, so we continued to lay in bed until about 8:30. And then I said, okay, I think I have to puke. Like, I need to vomit. And so I go to the bathroom, and that was, it went downhill from there pretty quickly. Thankfully, our bathroom is quite cozy and we have like a really comfortable carpet on the ground, because I almost had the baby in the bathroom. And I went to vomit, but I ended up not throwing up. And I said, I need to, you know, it has to come out the other way. Yeah. So I got on the toilet, and it was really intense because it was like contraction and then going to the bathroom, and the contractions were ramping up. I think beforehand, the contractions, you know, I had to focus and breathe through, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. That came to bite me in the butt during my like hour and a half long transition period.
Yeah.
So I had a very long transition period. It started in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I got off the toilet, and I was on the ground, and I saw that there was a lot of blood on my foot. And I had met with my doula a few days before, and she had told me that she had dilated very, very quickly from like 0 or 1 to 10 in just a couple of hours. And so when that happens, there's a lot of blood. And so I saw that and I said, that's probably what's happening to me, you know? And thank God she had said that. Otherwise, I kind of would have been lost in what was happening. I felt like just having that information, oh, okay, you can dilate really quickly. It's not this always this gradual process.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what happens if you, when that occurs.
Hmm. Yeah, it can. Doesn't necessarily mean that, but, you know, and it's always, you know, I would always call my midwife if I had any fresh blood, either in pregnancy or in labor. You know, that's definitely time for a midwife to come around, or go to the hospital, obviously, if you're not going to birth at home.
Yeah. So I knew things were ramping up. Like, okay, baby's coming soon. This is happening very fast. And I said to my husband, I was like, call Alex, call the doula now, because things are going quick. So he called her. Oh, I will say one thing as well, was when I was in the bathroom, my husband came in and I was sitting on the toilet kind of holding on to him. And that really, really helped, you know, and he was just there coaching. He's like, okay, breathe, do these things. And that position was really helpful for me, just kind of like squatting over the toilet and having somebody to support me. He was like, had his hands under my shoulders. And that was really, really good. That felt really, really comfortable. He called the doula and she just said, you know, she said, is that Olivia in the background? She said, oh, okay. Yeah. You guys need to go to the hospital now. You know, she's there. She's there. And then she asked to speak with me and she said, okay, Olivia, I can't, there's no time to come because the plan was for her to come to the home. And then you go through some of the contractions together and you go to the hospital together. Right. And I had, you know, I had this whole, I had this whole idea of what my birth would be like. And I had like several playlists, you know, I had one that was like really fun music to dance to. I had one that was all like drumming, one that was just all ohms. And I had what I thought was like kind of a goddess outfit, you know? So my doula was like, oh, do you know what you're going to wear at your birth? And so I had this whole idea of it being kind of this like tribal, but very like goddess energy, but in a very flowy and graceful way. And that all went out the door. It all went out the door. And when I was on the phone with her, she said, you need to go to the hospital. I said, how am I going to do this? How am I going to go? She just said, you just have to, you just, between the contractions, you just go, you know? And before then, my husband said, should I run the bath? Like, this is happening fast and it can happen here, you know? And it was really this choice of like, am I going to have my baby on my bathroom floor? It could happen. It could happen very easily.
Yes. Had you just stay there, it would have.
It would have. She would have come out. But I felt really excited about the hospital experience because I knew that my doula was my birth advocate. I had done a lot of learning and unlearning. I felt really prepared to give birth in a hospital, which was different than how I thought it would be. But I can explain that a little after. So I knew I wanted to get to the hospital and give birth there. So my husband called a taxi and the taxi arrived and then we had to go. And I remember he said, you know, he had the bags and then he said, okay, the taxi's here. What do you want to wear? And I was like, wear clothes? Like, can't you just wrap me in a towel and like throw me into the taxi? You know, it was just like that question. I think it was something that just kind of pulled me out of the moment for a second, you know, because I was like, put on clothes right now? How am I supposed to put on clothes right now? And I ended up just getting like a dress and going. And I said, I need a diaper. Like I needed like one of the postpartum diapers that we got because I have no idea what's happening down there. You know, like there's a baby coming out. There's all these things happening. Just give me a diaper and we got to get out of here. As we were leaving, because this was at around like 9:30 in the morning and people were going to work, you know, they were like, I felt like the whole neighborhood or all of our neighbors in our building were like, happened to be out that morning, you know, so it was like waiting for the elevator. Somebody came out. There was our housemeister. There were people checking their mail, you know, and then like I'm going through the building just like, just moaning, pretty much crawling on my hands and knees, just like, how am I going to get to the taxi? But it happened and the taxi knew what he had to do and he was on a mission, the driver.
He was like, I am not having a baby in my taxi.
He was like, okay, it's go time, you know?
Yeah.
And I just really needed to be on my hands and knees. That was the position that was calling to me in the bathroom. I was on my hands and knees. It was just like, that's all I could do was I felt like I just needed to be on my hands and knees.
Are you ready to join me and others in being a part of the movement of the reclaiming of birth as a rite of passage and as a woman's sacred business? I'm calling you who recognizes birth as a sacred portal and a life-altering event worthy of honoring and safeguarding. You who want to walk alongside women through her rite of passage from maiden to mother and provide a safe, sacred, and physiological birth space. Here's your invitation to join me and other women from around the world in the Sacred Birthworker Mentorship Program, becoming a sacred birth advocate and space holder, the Beyond a Doula training, starting in January 2024. It's a full year's container of learning, embodying, and deepening into a true space holder and sacred advocate for a woman's rite of passage of birth. By weaving ancient and modern knowledge of her story, women's wisdom, physiological birth skills, and the art of sacred space holding, as well as diving into the variations of normal, medicalized birth, birth advocacy within the current unnatural maternity system, and so much more. This program is unique to its kind in its depth and how deep we go, and also that I offer you one-on-one mentoring with me personally assisting you in becoming the clear channel and the best space holder that you can be. You will be so held and so nurtured and so supported for a whole year inside our worldwide online community as you learn and embody the teachings and skills and start sharing your gifts with the world. If your intuition is ringing clear as you receive this invitation, find out more and apply at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or via the link in the show notes.
We get to the hospital. There's an elevator, of course, to where you're meant to give birth. My husband said that he went to like call the, you know, there's a little doorbell that you have to call. And he turned back and I was crawling out of the elevator on my hands and knees. He was just like, this is it, you know? I said, don't tell me to get up. Like, I will crawl anywhere. They put us right into the immediate room and the doula wasn't there yet, but it was the pre-labor room and the midwife. So it was, there were three midwives there. They were all very young. So here in Germany, the midwives are who birth your babies.
Who catch the babies, yeah.
Yeah, and they're there, right? They're there through the whole process with you. So it's midwife led, which is also very different than in the US. You know, in the US, it's your doctor who does the whole thing and then the nurses. But here it's all midwives. There is a doctor and they come at the end just to check that everything is okay. But we had a team of three very excited young midwives, you know, come in and they're like, yes, let's do this. And they asked if they could put a CTG on me. And I wasn't sure, kind of going in, I was like, I don't really want a CTG. I don't want wires. And I don't want anybody telling me, oh, creating stress, right? But I don't know, I was just in the moment. And I was like, yeah, but only if there's no wires. I don't want any wires, you know, and I don't want to see the numbers or anything. Or if anything is weird, like I want it off. I don't want to get worried or anything. And they put it on and it was a wireless one. And then they saw the baby's heartbeat and they said, she's so strong. Your baby's doing amazing. Your baby's doing amazing. She's so strong. She's so powerful. Like, you can do this. You're almost there. And they asked if they could do a check, a cervical check. And I said, okay, but I'm not going on my back. You can look, but like, I'm in this, you know, I'm in this. I don't think we need to check. And so they cut the diaper off with scissors and they just looked and they said, okay, we can see the baby's head. If you feel like pushing, now is the time. And the doula arrived, and kind of going back to my birth plan, I said, I wanted the room to be super vibed out, like dark, nice, you know, fairy lights and little candles and music. And I was bringing some crystals, and my doula arrived and I saw her like put up this, it was like a galaxy light. And I looked up at it and I just said, I don't give a fuck. I don't care about these lights. You know, it was like all of these things that I thought that I would care about, I did not care about at all.
No.
You're just so in the moment.
Yeah. It's one thing if you're going to be in that room for 10 hours or something, but if you're coming in as you did, literally pushing out a baby, that is not the time. You do not give, as you say, you don't give a fuck, because, you know, because nothing around you doesn't matter because you're so in it. You're inside yourself and you should stay there, and doesn't matter what happens around you. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just want to say, I had a bit of a giggle when he said that they could put on the CTG, but if something wasn't good, they would take it off. I understand that you were fully in your birthing brain. So that's actually, if something would have been, according to them, not right, obviously that would have cascaded you into a lot of interventions. They would not have taken it off and just left you, that they would have, you know, done the opposite. So it was lucky that obviously they picked up a really good heart rate and obviously were so close to birth. But for anyone listening, CTGs are not evidence-based and they can only cause massive interventions for both you and your baby. There's no evidence showing that it actually does anything good for your baby's outcome at all. So I would say, and I'm really controversial here, but I would say always decline a CTG. They have no business being on your belly.
I totally agree. I had a CTG a couple weeks before going into labor and at my OB, and you know, they were like, oh, we're not sure. It seems a little bit high. And everything was fine, you know, but it kind of led it then into this like 2-day thing of like having to go back for all these CTGs. And finally, I mean, in the hospital, they said everything is fine. You know, I don't know what they were seeing, but come back again tomorrow just in case. But it was, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no reason. And even towards the end of my pregnancy, this is also a bit controversial, but, you know, my last appointment, they were measuring the amniotic fluid and the doctor said, oh, the amniotic fluid seems a little bit low. So we need you to come back next, you know, whatever, whatever. And so I went online, you know, and I went to evidencebasedbirth.com, which was a great resource for me. Mm-hmm. And started researching about, kind of, quote, low amniotic fluid, and realized, no, you know, I'm not going back so that they can make me worried about something that doesn't, you know, it's not proven to have any sort of negative impact into your birth or your baby. And your amniotic fluid changes.
Yes.
According to how hydrated you are.
Exactly. They could measure it in the morning and then it'd be low in quotation marks. And then in the afternoon, it's back to normal in quotation marks. And that low is just a made up number. There's actually no evidence around this. There's very poor research, but it is making women being induced around the clock around the world because doctors are like, oh my God, you have... I actually had a client, her first birth, that was like what happened to her. She got induced because they said that she had almost no amniotic fluid left and it was really catastrophic and, you know, she needed to be induced now, which was totally bullshit. And yeah, you know, we ended up having an amazing natural birth with her just the other week and for her second. And I would just say to anyone listening, like, contact, if you're getting these kind of things happening in your pregnancy, like contact someone like myself or someone you trust that can give you evidence-based research and answers to your questions and reassure you that most of the time, actually, nature is wise and doctors are trying to find pathology where there's no pathology to be found.
Yeah, exactly. And just through the process of pregnancy, knowing that I would be a bit of a victim, like anybody, of a medical, over medicalized system, and to question everything and to question absolutely everything that I was told. That was, I mean, that's ingrained in me, in my personality. But then with this, you know, it was really came up. And I think having good resources, so my doula, my midwife, and then some online resources were really, really helpful. And then they let me be able to make my own decisions. So, you know, I went into labor before the appointment they said they wanted me to come back for the amniotic fluid, but I wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't have gone, you know. I said, sure, I'll make the appointment, but I knew I wasn't going to go because everything had been totally fine. It was a really uncomplicated pregnancy. And I know that I'm lucky that the births in my family, the women who have birthed, have had uncomplicated births. Mm. So I'm lucky in that sense for sure. But yeah, you know, you just have to question everything.
I think that's a good mindset, especially in our world today. It's really important to take back your power and go like, what is my gut feeling telling me? What is my intuition? Trusting what you're sensing and then doing the research based on that, going like, okay, my doctor, my midwife is telling me this, but I actually feel this. I'm going to search further. I'm going to have a second opinion. I am going to source out someone I trust, you know? So yeah, I love that about you, that you have that critical mind. But back to the hospital, you're there. There's a baby sticking out of your vagina. Yeah, yeah. Take us back to that.
Yeah. So I was on the bed, but the back raised. So I was still stayed on all fours.
Yeah.
And my doula gave my husband, who was up with me by my head, a very important piece of a physical thing. And she gave him a fan, like a hand fan. And that was amazing. That was amazing. And so he was just sitting there fanning me, you know, speaking words of encouragement, but that fan, oh my God, it was like the best thing that I'd ever been feeling in that moment. You know, I was like, oh, this air. And so my transition was so long. And then I went into the pushing phase and I didn't feel like I had a break in between. And during my transition, it felt like one long contraction, you know, it didn't feel like I was having any breaks. Then when the pushing started, it actually was nice because I would have about 2 minute breaks in between each pushing contraction. And yeah, you feel your body push. So no forced pushing. It was all, you know, and the midwives, they were guarding that in a sense. You know, they weren't trying to rush me, you know. So when I would get a pushing contraction, they would give me some tips, right? So I was moaning and like screaming a lot, and they said, bring it lower. You know, it's very high right now. Bring it lower and push it through your body. Like use your voice to push down. And then, you know, putting my knees in, ankles out, and keeping my face relaxed, keeping my mouth relaxed. And just that was really helpful. And then they were just telling me how amazing I was the whole time. So that was really great. You know, they said, you're amazing. You can do this. Like, you're so strong. Your baby's so strong. And it was just a really beautiful and positive environment. And here in Germany too, you can't always bring two people to your birth because of the COVID restrictions, which are now being lifted. But in this hospital, you could. So I could bring, you know, both my husband and my doula. But some midwives are a bit hesitant when you bring a doula because they're not really sure of each other's roles. They feel like maybe there's a little bit of overstepping. But my doula said that was the best experience she had ever had working with midwives in a hospital before. And they really, you could see that they were really working together. And then working with my husband, and, you know, there was like this whole thing going on. And also in between, in my pushing phase, the midwives were putting a warm compress on my perineum. And that was amazing. You know, it felt really good. I was like, oh my gosh, this is making me feel safe. It made me feel safe.
Yeah.
And then I could feel little baby coming through, and I was afraid. You know, I had never felt that before, and you just have these, you know, ideas in your mind, the ring of fire, tearing. So I was like, ooh, I'm so afraid of this. I'm so afraid. You know, and I just said, I'm afraid. And they said, don't, it's okay to be afraid of me. You can do it. You know, like, you got this. She's not going to rip you apart, you know? The baby's going to come. She's here. And then my push after that, then her head came out. And they said, you know, the head is here. Do you want to feel her head? I said, no, I don't want to feel. I just want to get this, you know, I'm in it. Let's just do this. And one last push and she came. And she was born in under 6 hours, so about 5.5 hours. And they put her on the bed beneath me. And I just was there just watching her for about 30 seconds. And in the videos that my doula took, you know, they put her baby Kaya underneath me. And my first words were, oh my God, it's a baby. Like, it was so shocking that this had happened so fast. And that it had happened so smoothly. I think I was just in shock that it's like, this happened so fast. This happened so smoothly. Baby is here. And like, I'm okay, you know, I survived. I'm still standing and I'm still me, you know, and this is crazy. Mm. And yeah, that release, I think, was huge of just like, this has happened and I'm not, you know, I've survived and I'm doing well. I think it's like, unless you go through the birth, you just have this fear that it's going to kill you or destroy you or that you can't do it. You know, there's so much fear that's put in to you as a woman about your ability to birth, and, you know, unlearning a lot of those fears and confronting a lot of them throughout the pregnancy and then the day of. It was very surreal. It was a very surreal moment.
It shows you your true power as the woman.
It's amazing. You know, there was a moment in my pregnancy kind of early on where I realized that I have to do this on my own, you know, and I was telling my husband, I was like, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid because usually everything we do is together. Or like, you know, I said, I feel like we both really put our all into our relationship. Like, we each give so much and we are, you know, very consciously evolving and growing. And we give a lot in the relationship. And so I know I can always rely on you. I said, but now I realize I have to do this on my own. Like, I can't rely on you. I have to do this by myself. And that was really scary. There was definitely tears, you know, in my pregnancy, just being afraid of the pain and what if something happens, and knowing that it was me, down to me.
Mm. Amazing. And then you went through it and you realized you could. You did it.
Did it. And she's healthy and beautiful, and I didn't tear either. So I had no tear, which was amazing. I could feel when she was coming out, there was this moment, it was when her head was coming out. I felt my pelvis expand, and that was a really crazy feeling. I could feel it just like open, you know, and it didn't hurt. It was almost like a release in a way. Mm-hmm. And that was the feeling that surprised me the most. Maybe it was a way it distracted me from the other feelings of having when her head was coming out, but it was all very surprising. Of course it hurt, but it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah. So then you picked up your baby, and did you lean back on the bed and birth the placenta? Or how did you birth the placenta?
Yeah, that was different than I thought it would be. So yeah, I picked her up and she let out her little cry, and then she just relaxed. Baby, she took a little nap and just was hanging out. And then I leaned back and birthed the placenta. I think what surprised me was just the contractions again. I didn't realize that I would kind of continue to have contractions to be able to birth the placenta. Mm-hmm. I was just, when the contractions came, you know, I was like, I thought this was done. I thought this was over.
Yeah.
But that went smoothly. So it happened about maybe 20 minutes after giving birth. And we also did delayed or optimal cord clamping, which they said that they do at the hospital. You know, they would never cut the cord while there's still blood inside. So the hospital really aligned with a lot of my values.
I wish more of the US hospitals would listen to this and hear what the rest of the world is doing.
I know. Yeah. Mm. So that was not having to explain, right? Over explain or, but I felt that I could relax in the moment because I knew I had a birth advocate.
Yeah.
And that my husband and I were really aligned on how I wanted to birth and that he could stand up for that as well. But I really wanted, I mean, one of the main reasons why I wanted to have a doula is so that she could be an advocate there, especially because we don't speak German. So she could, you know, she spoke German. She could, let's say the midwives were having a conversation, you know, in German and we couldn't understand, she'd be able to understand. So I felt like I could really relax because I had my birth team, and I felt really strong in my birth team.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew that the hospital was aligned with my values. So I felt really lucky to be able to have a natural birth at a hospital. I know most of the time it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. I think a big part also of having such a great experience is that you came in so late, that you came in like literally having a baby in between your legs almost. you know, that's in one way, that is the best way of doing a hospital birth, because, you know, then you're not there on their timeline.
Exactly.
What a beautiful story. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, is about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, What advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Yeah. I think trust your body and trust your baby. I think, you know, I would communicate with my baby during the pregnancy. So in meditation, just kind of thinking, you know, like telepathically communicate. And that made, I felt like my baby and I were on the same page. Like we were a team, you know? So I felt her strength. I felt her power and that we were going to get through it together. And that my body would work with her to do that, you know, and as safely a possible, in as safe a situation as possible. So trusting your body, trusting your baby. There's so much unlearning that has to be done that I had to go through. I think, you know, it's been hard to detach from this very American mindset of pregnancy, birth, and now motherhood. Being out of the US, I'm able to see it, you know, more from a distance, but it's ingrained. I grew up there. So, you know, my friends and my sister all are giving birth in the US. So, and it's very much like, okay, read this book to do this, read this book for that, da, 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 da. And you have to do X, Y, and Z, and you need all of these products, right? So when your baby comes home. And, you know, it's all very much around that mindset of like taking away women's power.
Yeah.
Trying to capitalize on this moment in your life, right? So like saying you need all these things or whatever, and that you don't have the information. We need to give you the information. We know. So here's the information. But what has surprised me the most is how intuitive it is, how instinctual everything, this pregnancy, birth, and now motherhood feels. I think that's been my biggest surprise is, and like as a pearl of wisdom, that instinct is there. You know, you don't need to seek it. You just need to quiet everything else to be able to tap into it. And that has been a huge surprise for me. It's almost like something has come, descended upon me in a way, and is moving me forward that's outside of myself. Just because it's these new feelings that I've never felt before, you know, that your body is going to create your baby. Your body's going to birth your baby. You don't need to think much about it. It's going to do it, you know, and then after you're designed to then care for your baby, you know, and evolution has created that.
That's it.
And that is a crazy thing to experience because everything, you know, their cute little faces, their little cries, and everything is designed for you to care for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing. And we're not told about that.
Yeah. And if we interrupt any of these processes, these natural blueprints, that's when we also might disturb and interfere with that continuation of that. So if we disturb in pregnancy and take away a woman's intuition, or her, you know, we tell her that something's wrong with her baby or wrong with the pregnancy, she might distrust her body so that she doesn't trust it to birth, and she gives away her power in birth. She goes into birthing not realizing her own power, but thinking that, thank God I was, you know, with this midwife or this doctor, and they saved me. You know, oh God, look at this now. I came out all right. And then she doesn't trust herself to breastfeed. She doesn't trust herself to care for her baby. It just continues, you know?
Exactly.
And one of the most important things that I really, you know, I'm so passionate about is for women to understand that the blueprint of birth, natural birth, the high that you experience when you birth your baby, you don't get that if you have a medicalized birth, if it's interfered with. The more undisturbed birth you have, the more the physiology is upheld, that natural birth process, the hormones and the cascade of those hormones, they will get you to this euphoric high for days afterwards, where you really get that real bonding with your baby. The breastfeeding just kicks in so strongly. The baby can initiate that at birth. And you just have this, you set yourselves up, you and your baby, for the rest of your life with the birth you have.
Absolutely.
And it's so
delicate. And that's so, yeah, absolutely. It's so delicate. And we think about birth as just this, like, oh, it's so fast. It's going to happen anyways. I think that's how I started my pregnancy, a bit more laissez-faire. Like, you know, it'll happen. We'll see how it goes. And then I started to learn about the risks of having a laissez-faire attitude, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's exactly as we've been talking about, you know, your power is really taken away. And I think things that have really helped me were working with a doula, because that helped to guide my knowledge. Yeah. And so I recommend always to work with a doula. If you can't, then lean into a friend who has had a birth experience that you think is, you know, you want to have a similar birth experience, or you align with them and their values and what they're, you know, their, what they went through as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. And oh, and I read 10 Moons, and I really loved that book. I think that also helped to, yeah, just kind of guide my knowledge and what I wanted to learn and how I wanted to birth my baby. I also had a friend who did a free birth at home, and she, I would talk to her throughout my pregnancy, and she helped me question, right? So for example, we were having a conversation and I said something about, I said, yeah, but what if the baby's too big? Mm-hmm. You know, then you have to be induced or something. She goes, do you really believe that? And then I was like, ooh, I like the pushback. Now I'm going to think about it. And then it was like, why did I say that? Why do I believe that? You know, and it really is because you hear about these stories. Yeah. Oh, my baby was too big, so I had to be induced. And then you realize the measurements are all mathematical calculations. There's a huge error rate of weight calculation for the baby.
Yeah. And it's not like big babies are not a problem.
Right.
It's how we birth those babies on the back, where, you know, 30% of the pelvic outlet just diminishes. That is the problem. And that's how you're birthing with an induction. Usually you lie on your back. Of course, right. It's going to be hard to get that baby out on your back.
Or if you have an epidural, if you can't feel your legs.
Of course. Yes. So then, yeah, if you're planning on having an epidural, a very heavy epidural on lying on your back, then yes, there's going to be an increased risk of shoulder dystocia on your back with an epidural with a big baby. But you know what? You can have a shoulder dystocia with a small baby too.
Yeah.
So that it's not, big babies are not a thing. It's not. It's a fear narrative that's just gotten momentum, and now it's a snowball falling down the hill, and it's growing and growing and growing, and people believe in this bullshit.
I know.
It's not true.
Yeah, I think it's very hard, and I'm really happy that you're here to have these conversations with women, because I've even found, you know, it's hard to talk about birth and pregnancy with other women because there's such a deep belief system that's been ingrained.
Yes.
And it's uncomfortable to question those things.
Absolutely. And I just a trust in the medical establishment that they are correct. You know, you got to believe in science. But the problem is that most of the things in the maternity system is not science-based. And people don't believe me when I say that. I was just sitting actually just the other day with, I think we were 11 or 12 home birth midwives. And we were sitting there, and it was a range from like women in, I would say, early 30s, maybe till 70s. So like great knowledge base of midwives here, right? And we were talking about big babies, and I asked them, I was like, what's the heaviest baby that you've attended a birth at? And I think the biggest baby was 5.3 kilos. And I've attended a birth where there was a 5 kilo baby. And like, yeah, you know, and oh, actually, sorry, I'm actually lying there. One of them spoke about a 6 kilo baby. Vaginally birthed. So
wow.
I just want anyone who's thinking, oh, my baby's 4.5 kilos and they're saying it's so big. It's not. That is a normal size baby. You know, nowadays they're like talking about 4 kilo babies is such a big baby. Nuh-uh. That's a normal sized baby. It, you know, it's very rare that we can actually talk about a problem like, oh, here could be an increased risk because of, you know, there's a big baby. Yes, if you talk about a woman with like uncontrolled diabetes that just had, you know, that those are rare, you know, that's a different, but if it's a normal woman, a normal pregnancy, she doesn't have any other comorbidities and she has a big baby, then she has grown that big baby and she'll be able to birth that big baby. And actually, you know what? Big babies, they just kind of fall on out. They're pretty good at that, you know, with gravity, pulling them
gravity down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just be upright. Don't be on your back. Get off your back. If you want to birth a big baby, you want to birth it in any other position than on your back.
Totally.
And you'll birth that baby like a star, like that queen that you are. Thank you so much, Olivia, for coming and sharing your birth story. It's been amazing having you on.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.